This is a very frustrating situation. I mean, there you are in the cockpit of your airplane looking down, and you can see the airport that you want to land at. You're ready to get the airplane on the ground and go home, and you can't land. I think the tendency, the tug at all pilots in this situation is to kind of go for it. You know, let's get this airplane on the ground. We can see it. But, you know, that takes us from a very controlled, structured environment to an ad lib. And ad libbing in aviation just don't work, do they, Wally?
Bob, that's for sure. We know that doesn't work. And here you are at 500 feet trying to make a decision whether you should descend into this fog or make up some other stuff as some of the other options in this scenario. And I just have to agree with you that that the best decision right here is to do a missed approach and regroup. Get a look at the airport, see if this fog is extensive or not, and then make your next plan. But changing plans at 500 feet is not the time to change. You started this approach deciding either to land or miss. The fog is telling you your chances of landing are very slim here. So do the other option, miss, and then you can make a plan for what you're going to do next.
Mist gives us really parameters that we can handle. Anybody can and should be able to shoot a missed approach and safely sequence to the next option. Some of these other choices, Bob, circle of land, descend to minimum in the fog, can really ruin your whole day. I mean, it's amazing how quickly things can deteriorate from there you are at 500 feet in the clear to putting yourself either out of control or in a very, very hazardous situation.
Well, transitioning from this approach to circle to land is really, as you described it, an ad lib situation. You're much better off, in this case, climbing according to the prescribed missed approach, which is straight ahead to the missed approach fix, and looking at what alternatives you have at that point. And certainly, there's a couple that are pretty obvious. You get to the missed approach point, you may find that as you turn around in the hold, you see the airport, maybe you do a visual approach to 2-4 or 2-9. Maybe you do a VOR approach to 2-4, but you do something that's planned rather than making it up along the way and getting yourself in deeper in a circle-to-land situation at night to runway 2-9 as offered in one of the alternatives. That's a pretty steep turn. It would take you into a left base, a modified left base entry over the water. Not a good idea. You're not prepared for it. You were prepared to land the airplane. Now you've got to transition back to level flight at 500 feet. I don't know. It's going to take some quick moves and some agility to do it. I think it's risky. Climbing straight ahead and developing a plan, a comprehensive plan with ATC is the way to go, I think, here.
There really are a lot of good options available.
Sure.
But there's some bad ones. John?
You know, oh, absolutely.
Let's look at the good ones, you know. The good ones are readily available and are not scary or dangerous.
No, and as long as we do it, as we said, in a controlled manner, and I think that's the thing. You know, if we talked about coming down the glide slope and you first realize you got a problem at 500 feet or so, depending upon what category you're going to fly the approach at, you're between the two circling minimums. You're below circling minimums for a category B, even if you wanted to try that. So you're going to climb back up to 620, which now you're talking about reconfiguring the airplane again, or you're going to try and circle at the lower 420-foot circling altitude, which means you got to keep the speed lower, keep it turned in tighter. The whole thing is just it's begging for trouble.
While making turns to try to get
And looking positioned at the plate and figuring this out and everything.
Right.
So go around, recollect your thoughts. If you decide you want to retain the IFR and retain the instrument approach, go out and do it to the other end of the airport and either plan to circle, plan to land straight in, but do it from a planned, controlled thing instead of making it up as you're going along.
We've spent a lot of time over the years talking about, you know, circling approaches. They're not inherently dangerous. Circling approaches at night, a little bit more challenging.
Over water with fog, and is that dark spot fog? Is that dark spot water?
And let's look at where we are. You know, at Bridgeport, Connecticut, it's right on the shoreline. So Bridgeport is a very populated area. You have to the north, you have a sea of lights, a wonderful horizon, maybe be blurred up by fog. But then you turn out over Long Island Sound, you have a sea of black, no horizon. So now you are required, you know, to use inside the airplane for your horizon. So you're inside, outside, You do that at night, and next thing you know, your vertigo disorientation, and you start, you know, turning and pitching, you're a mess. And we've seen scenarios like that. And then, God forbid, you go into the fog. Well, if you're in a circling approach in a bank, climbing, descending, I don't care what you're doing, and you go into the fog, the next thing you're going to do, you're going to turn, you're going to put that airplane upside down. I mean, you're going to get a rush, you know, through your inner ears that you've never seen before. Yeah. And how quickly, from 500 foot in the clear, well in control of your airplane, to vertigo disorientation. And boy, there's hundreds of accidents that have ended just that way.
Absolutely no need to attempt it here. You've got plenty of fuel. There's climb straight ahead, gain altitude, compose a new plan.
In a lot of locations, you know, the missed approach, you know, takes you to Timbuktu and beyond. I mean,
in this case, it's 5 miles out.
I mean, it's all good, and you'll be back on the ground within minutes, whereas if you start ad-libbing, you know, you may be dead within minutes. And you know, you hate to be fatalistic, but unless you've made that decision ahead of time, if you have to make it on the spot, most of us are going to go for it. And that's just the wrong decision here, Wally.
Yeah. Well, there's another aspect, Bob, that you brought up earlier, and that's the visibility issue. With a 300-foot decision height, it's possible if this fog is quite shallow that you could still be on top of the fog at decision height and very likely see the required visual references to continue an approach. But when you get down below that DH and you now enter the fog, you're going to lose the visibility. So now you're looking at the possibility of attempting a missed approach somewhere below DH, which is going to be in the fog, which is going to become way more difficult. So I think that aspect really needs to be considered anytime you're making an approach with that shallow ground fog around.
Especially with the lighting system that's available there too.
No approach lights.
No approach lights and two reels flashing through the fog at you.
They're more harmful than
helpful.
Helpful,
at that point. It's going to be very disorienting.
And, you know, we may have some subscribers that think option two is a good choice. You know, just continue on the approach down to decision height, and if you don't break out, you go around. And that sounds simple enough and is not inherently dangerous.
Yep.
So I'm not suggesting it is. An approach to minimums is a viable option. But how many people practice approaches to minimum? And quite frankly, you know, you really need to be well prepared to execute that go around because you are definitionally at low altitude, at, you know, reasonably low airspeed, and your sequence of events needs to be near perfect, you know, to get the results that you want. It is an option. It's just not a good option at night in the weather.
Right, and you also have a real variable here too. As we know, this ground fog, it could in the next 2 minutes completely blow out, or it could completely obscure the airport. So we're in a constantly changing situation. We've got that little bit of west wind there that's bringing this stuff over, and that's something that we should always be alert. The conditions were ripe for this right from the very beginning. A lot of rain on the ground. It was a hot day. You got
still relatively
warm. Right, warm ground, tropical almost air mass after the showers have moved through. The air is juicy. It's ready for this. So that there should have been some warning bells long before in this. Just because it's not in the TAF doesn't mean it's not going to happen. You know it's a seaside airport.
Let's talk a little bit about the home airport factor.
Yep.
How many fatal accidents occur at home airport? We have to accept when we're coming into our home airport, that is a tug, you know, on our person or on our capability that is very real. I can duck under. I know what's there. It's water, you know, below. And I'm not going to hit anything. Well, the fatal accident in which this scenario was based, the guy was coming in VFR. I mean, and he literally entered the fog on roundout. But, you know, if you enter the fog on roundout, where's the runway? And he held the airplane off just long enough to touch down far enough down the runway that his he gave up control of his airplane. You know, when that occurs, we need to make a positive decision rather than a non-decision.
There's a real pull because that's where our car is, right there. That's where we told the passengers we were going. And I think, Bob, you make a point early on about being proactive. A part of this could have been to brief the passengers that there's a strong possibility of ground fog this evening. And we may have to make a missed approach. We may even have to divert to another airport. We're just going to have to see how that develops.
Most of us are familiar with the Bridgeport Airport. I mean, there are a multitude of options, you know, literally within 30 minutes, you know, family, friends, a short taxi ride, you know. I mean, so, I mean, the downside to even diverting, you know, nobody wants to divert, but the downside to diverting in this case
is minimal.
It's absolutely minimal versus assuming tremendous risk.
That's a good point. The early go around just takes a big chunk of risk right out of the flight that night. And going out to Milam and doing a little hold, regrouping.
Reevaluating.
Yeah.
The real takeaway, I think, from this scenario is really the planning and the preparation. We all agree that fog was a very real possibility upon arriving at Bridgeport. Okay, that's real. We got to ask ourselves, you know, be prepared for the worst case, and then you're going to be, you know, ready for the best case. And in this case here, had he thought about, hey, if the fog is there, we might circle to land. We might cancel and go VFR. We might. But once again, you've planned that. You have a plan for that versus getting to 500 feet and then trying to make a snap decision.